to the first chapter. Let's talk about the birth of Jesus. Probably not a person here is surprised about that. But you might be surprised about what I'm going to talk from. And I hope you are in a very good way. It would be simplest to move right into the action at verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. And you can quote it to me. How many times have you heard it or read it? You could tell me what this says. How many can quote verses 2 down through 16? Come on, stand up, be the first. What is it? Genealogies? Man, what boring material. Hey, going from last week or the week before, I don't remember, going off a statement that I made about a current trend happening, especially in our culture and from our culture being broadcast around this world. It is that the Old Testament is to be disregarded. It is not important for us today. It is irrelevant and uninteresting. Thankfully, not everybody believes that. And I made a statement to you that if we remove the Old Testament, we have a weaker Jesus. We have a lesser Jesus. Certainly, there's things in the New Testament that are absolutely relevant for us right here, right now. Although there are those saying, oh, even that's old news. Not in your life, man. The ink is still wet. It is for us. But Old Testament also. And I'd like to walk through this passage, believe it or not, in a fun sort of way to me. I hope you're entertained at least, if not inspired by it. Not interesting, not relevant. Really? If that is the case, I'd like to say this is not boring. Genealogy, Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 down through 16. Taken from, for the most part, 1 Chronicles chapter 2. But it also takes in Genesis from chapter 11 on. It also takes in Joshua and Judges and Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, parts of Ezra and Nehemiah will come out in this, as well as 2 Chronicles, Isaiah and Jeremiah. And if you think those are boring, you are admitting to me you've never read them. You've never taken it in. You've never taken it as true history. Matthew 1:1. Yes, it's interesting, but Matthew 1:1, it is also important. It is relevant. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. What is important about Jesus' genealogy? Please stop here for a moment and let your mind understand that Christ is not his last name. Robinson is my last name. That designates me apart from every Dan that you might ever meet, unless his name is Robinson. Jesus Christ, Christ is the Greek word, the Hebrew word is Messiah. What is important about the genealogy of Messiah? Do away with the Old Testament and you don't have it. What's the importance of it? Let's pull it in. It validates the Word of God. The promise of God, promises, the prophecies of God, ultimately the purpose of God. The genealogies validate that. His genealogy validates that. Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Why are those two mentioned? Why can't we just go from, you know, from that verse 1, straight into verse 18. The birth of Jesus, Messiah, was as follows. Wait a minute. Why son of David? Why son of Abraham? Because God made promises to Abraham that we are saying are fulfilled in Jesus. God made promises to David that we say are fulfilled in Jesus. Okay, let's just accept it and go down to verse 18. Way cool. Start writing their Christmas cards. Wait a minute. If you're thinking systematically, particularly if you haven't come to a place of having faith in Christ, you had better be asking, how do I know he's the son of David and the son of Abraham and that those promises are for him and fulfilled in him? How do I know? Some of the references, Genesis 12:3 to Abraham. I will bless those that bless you. The one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Talking about the seed, the Lord Jesus. To David, multiple places. We'll look at one of those this morning. 2 Samuel 7:16, a lot of us have memorized. Psalm 89:19-29. Psalm 110, the first three verses, the eternal king on the throne of David. Psalm 110:4-7, he's also the eternal priest. Huh. All of a sudden gets bigger and bigger. If we are attributing these promises to be fulfilled in Jesus, claiming that and believing that, how do we know? Very basic. You follow the line. The genealogical line. Without the genealogy, I cannot know for certain that Jesus fulfills these. Take away your Old Testament and you're going to have a week in Jesus. Yeah, you might accept it by some blind faith. You're not going to communicate that as reasonable to somebody else. It is given for the purpose of evidence so that our faith is not misplaced. It gives further reason to believe in him. Our faith comes from reasonable evidence. Jesus is the only Messiah. Verses 2 down to 17 through 16 is actually, though, really an embarrassing genealogy. If I sat down thinking of, okay, what kind of a person can I put in the line of Jesus, it would not be some of these characters. It's embarrassing. Now, some of us may have skeletons in our closet, and some of those are in the form of relatives behind us. Sure don't want everybody to know about them. But they're here, and they're spelled out. And that is one of the beauties of this particular genealogy, and that in the book of Luke, is that God included those that we would be embarrassed about. Just walk slowly with me down through these. To Abraham was born Isaac. Isaac, Jacob. What do we know about Jacob? What stands out as foremost? His name and what he did, what his character was what? A supplanter. From the very beginning, he stole the birthright from his brother and he stole the blessing from his brother. What a guy to have in your line. And we could speak out some other things, and there were some blessings that came through him also. To him were born Judah and his brothers. Why do we start there? The Reuben was the firstborn. Simeon, Levi, then Judah. Well, because we're going in the line of Jesus. He came through Judah. Judah is a character you can look at and say he wasn't always the most righteous guy either. Well, Judah had two sons, twins, by Tamar. Ho-ho, pull the reins back. Who was Tamar? Who was she? His daughter-in-law. Oop, they did stuff like that back then. His daughter-in-law that he treated in a non-biblical, ungodly way. She posed as a prostitute. He was looking. They had twins together. That's in this genealogy of Jesus? Really? Do we have to talk about prostitutes? That's kind of embarrassing. Anyway. Tamar. To Perez was born Hezron. Hezron, Ram. And to Ram was born Amminadab. To Amminadab was born Nahshon. By the way, just for the fun trivia, to Amminadab, according to Exodus 33, was also born a daughter. Aaron married Amminadab's daughter. He pulled a wife not from Levi, his line, but out of Judah. Aaron, the high priest? Oh, okay. Just for the fun of it. And to Nathan was born a guy named Salmon, or Salmon, or whatever. To Salmon was born Boaz by, here we go again, Rahab. She was a resident of where? Jericho. Her occupation was? Don't whisper. A prostitute from Jericho that recognized that God was with Israel. And God even mentions her in his list of faith people twice in our New Testament. Really? And that's a great, 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 great grandmother of Jesus? Huh. Anyway, Boaz, oh, cool guy. Hero of heroes in that four-chapter book of Ruth. He had a son named Obed by Ruth. Wait a minute, Ruth is not Israelite. She was a Moabite, Gentile wife. And God blessed them. Huh. And to Obed was born Jesse. Ah, now we're getting someplace. To Jesse was born David the King. That title is so important in this list because Jesus is on the throne of David. And to David was born Solomon, and Matthew is, he waters it down. He just kind of, you know, quickly puts it out there. Solomon by whom? Who was Bathsheba? Somebody else's woman. She must have been a beauty. She caught David's attention while her husband was out fighting a battle for David. David had her brought up. No appearance that he coerced her, seduced her. She didn't have an option, according to what is written anyway. We don't. There's a lot not written down. He did have a sexual relationship. We call that adultery. The law kind of speaks against that. Just common sense also speaks against that. This was somebody else's wife. And then David brought Uriah home because that Bathsheba was pregnant. Ooh, I hope he sleeps with his wife so it looks like the kid is his. That's in the genealogy of Jesus. Oh my. He refused. And David then murdered him. Had him murdered. In battle, to make it look like it was a battle fatality. Anyway, we go on. To David was born Solomon. To Solomon was born Rehoboam. That guy was a dummy. That guy, the next leader after Solomon died of Israel, and the first thing he did was not listen to the wisdom of the gray hairs in his council, rather turned to the kids he'd run with and followed their advice. It ended up in the splitting of the kingdom of Israel into a northern and a southern tribe. It was him. It started there. Rehoboam. To him was born Abijah. And I didn't go through and list all the good or the bads in here, but there are some bad guys and some good ones. To Abijah was Asa. To Asa was born Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, Joram. Joram, Uzziah. Uzziah was a good guy. Reigned 52 years in Israel. To Uzziah was born Jotham. Good king. To Jotham was born Ahaz. Bad king. To Ahaz, Hezekiah. Good king. To Hezekiah was born Manasseh. One of the worst kings. One of the most evil kings, but repented at the end. The scripture says about him that he even sacrificed a son of his on Molech, the bronze sacrifice that they build a fire under until his arms turn red hot. He placed his son on those arms. Manasseh. Really? Can't we strike some of these from this list? No, it's reality. To Manasseh was born Ammon. To Ammon, Josiah, one of the best kings, one of the most godly kings. And each one of these has a story. You read through these in 1st and 2nd Kings, and it's like, man, the world starts coming, it starts having flesh on it. Real live people. To Josiah were born Jeconiah, also known as Coniah, one of the worst, along with Manasseh. But this guy was so bad that God put a curse on him. And Jeremiah told him, none of your seed will prosper sitting on the throne of David. That is a curse from then on. Do you see a problem coming? The Coniah curse. Jeremiah 22, starting in verse 24, talks about that. Jeconiah and his brothers, at the time of the deportation to Babylon, taken captive. After the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah, to him was born Shealtiel. Shealtiel, Zerubbabel. And to Zerubbabel was born Abiud. To Abiud, Eliakim. To Eliakim, Azor. Azor, born Zadok. To Zadok, Akim. To Akim, Eliud. Eliud is born Eleazar. To Eleazar, Mathan. To Mathan, Jacob. To Jacob was born Joseph. Whew, we're finally getting there. Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom was Jesus born, who is called the Christ. Now, verse 17 shows us God's precision. All the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. From David to the deportation, 14 generations. From deportations to the time of Christ, 14 generations. A little precision. Now, I have heard it by some skeptic scoffers. Oh, they can't even count. That last group, there was only 13 generations. The dummies. No. If you can count, you read it. They include Christ as a generation, and that is 14. As it is stated, 14, 14, 14. Well, I had a little fun, went to Luke chapter 3. The other genealogical list, Mary's genealogy. From Abraham back to Adam was 21 generations. Certainly some of those had longer lives. But that gives you a time frame from Adam. The creation of the first man to Abraham was 21 generations, Luke 3. And then 14, 14, 14, and you have Christ. And now we are 2,000 years later. All of a sudden that billions of heirs kind of thing kind of gets reduced by a little bit. Even millions of years, reduce it. We're talking some thousands of years. And not very many of those. Anyway, we come to verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, they did not have sexual relationship. Young people, please listen. Legally betrothed, did not come together. Honor your body, honor your God, honor your husband and wife. They did it the right way. If you don't, it can leave some scars. But that's just a little preachy thing. But it's truth. Before they came together, she was found to be with child. Here we go with another embarrassing segment. Really? Anybody with any common sense whatsoever says, she's pregnant, she's been messing around with somebody. Why is that important? What about that virgin birth? Is it relevant for me today? Without my Old Testament, I don't know. Something about the Old Testament coming over into the New Testament that puts a relevancy to it. If Joseph would have been the dad, back up to Jeconiah, what was the curse that Jeconiah heard from God? No man of your seed will prosper sitting on the throne of David. the Jeconiah curse would have passed on to Mary if Joseph would have been the father. But before Coniah, God saw fit to have a guy named Isaiah, by the way. Verse 9 right here, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, those four kings. That's when Isaiah prophesied during all four of those kings' life. It places in history. And this was 700 years approximate, a little bit more when he wrote. But Isaiah 7:14, would you open your Bible to Isaiah 7:14, please? Ahaz is king. Ahaz has some enemies coming at him and he's really petrified. Isaiah steps up and says, God's going to protect you. Don't worry. Ask for God a sign that he's going to do this. Ahaz says, oh, I wouldn't ask God for a sign. Well, Isaiah, verse 14, says the Lord himself will give you a sign. And I believe that sign is appropriate for right then. And I am one that believes that Isaiah had a son that they named Emmanuel. In this text, through the next three chapters, there's reason to believe he had an actual physical son named Emmanuel. Watch this. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin, or in Hebrew, young maiden, and a young wife would still be a young maiden, will be with child, bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. The reminder that God is with us. And so this goes on to talk about, before your son is such and such an age, you know, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, the enemies are going to be destroyed. Down below in chapter 8, I and my sons, in verse 18, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel. From the Lord of hosts who dwells in Mount Zion. Ah, except he now talks in chapter 9 of Isaiah about, I believe, the ultimate fulfillment of this virgin birth. Look at chapter 9 with me. It leads into verse 6. We'll start at verse 6 for our time's sake. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. Why? Because he's king. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Emmanuel, God manifest in the flesh, Eternal Father, or Father of Eternity, One that created all that is, Prince of Peace. Verse 7, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. That was not accomplished by Isaiah's son. Could not have been. I believe this is a wonderful example of a double fulfillment. There was the immediate, but it just led to the greater. Go back to Matthew chapter 1. She was found to be with child. Verse 19, Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man. Hallelujah, there's one more in that line. And not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. By the law, he could have enforced that she was stoned to death. He didn't want to even disgrace her publicly. He was going to put her away quietly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. What does Jesus mean? Jehovah saves. God is salvation. Verse 22. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin, This was written in the Greek language, and the word for virgin means virgin. It does not mean young married maiden, like in the Hebrew. So he clarifies for us. This is to fulfill, the virgin shall be with child, shall bear a son, they shall call his name. Why doesn't it say Jesus? He just said Jesus. What did they call him when he was walking the planet? Jesus. He probably never filled out a, hello, my name is Emmanuel. His tag was Jesus. That helped to call him out of a crowd. What does this mean in verse 23? They shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God who is with us. Emmanuel, I doubt anybody ever called him that in the 32 or 3 years he was here. Yet that is who he was by very nature, very essence, very being. He was God who came in the flesh through that virgin. Dad had this family line down to here. Joseph arose from his sleep. He did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took her as his wife. Kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. She is not still the perpetual virgin. That is out of the scripture that came from, not from the word of God. He had other sons and daughters by this woman. We know of 4 other sons and at least 2 daughters, according to Mark chapter 3, Mark chapter 6, where they are named by name. But she was a virgin at this birth. She gave birth to this son and called him Jesus. Then we can read some more and get into the rest of the story. How important is the genealogy? Pretty important. Luke chapter 3, we have another genealogy. It is the genealogy of Mary. And you can start with Mary and go back and get to David. Except the one came through Solomon, the other one through Nathan. From David, he could sit on the throne of David through either line. Kind of doubly supported there. Why? The virgin birth. Number one, we talked about Jeconiah and that curse, but I don't think that's a superior reason. It is because the seed, the human sinful nature, passed on from Adam's seed on down all the way through, did not come to Jesus through Joseph or another man. His seed was the Holy Spirit. So that as an actual physical human being like us, humanly speaking, you could touch him. He would bleed if you poked him. No different than you and me. And I do believe his mother had to change his diapers. I do believe he was a child. Anyway, we go on and on with that fun picture. Some of it's not as fun to think about, but you know, it's reality. Yet without sin, the scripture says. Without sin. Therefore, this holy person called the Son of God, because it was the seed of God in Mary, therefore he's the Son of God. That's why at 12 years old, he told his dad and mom, oh, didn't you know I had to be about my father's business? 12. Wow. What could he accomplish spiritually then if he did not have the sin seed in him? Tempted in every way like us, yet without sin. When he died on that cross, it was not because he was a criminal, but he died a criminal's death. His perfect life and sinless life, perfect, flawless blood was shed in the place of sinful man. He died for the sins of his mother and father. All those that had faith in God, clear back to Adam, whoever they were, God knows the list. all of those on this side of the cross. Why the virgin birth? So he would be of God in such a way that he could pay the price. He, God, set the price against sin. The soul that sins, it will die, be separated from God forever. He set the price, and then he paid the price. Born of a virgin. So that could happen. The Jeconiah curse, that was further down the line after Isaiah wrote. That was later, but it was also true. He could not have come through Jeconiah. Yet, what we have through him is the legal line of David. The recognized line of David. I do not believe it would have been recognized through his mother alone. That's why every entry here and in your Old Testament is a male. The legal line was here. Actually, she came from the line of David too. Not from Levi, not from whoever else. God had it set up in such a perfect way. Okay, now we can throw away the Old Testament. Not on your life. Look what we'd miss. I've given you a spoonful. Look what we'd miss. Don't believe that trend. Go back here and worship your God that set it up from the beginning. He is still the same. Now we can get into chapter 2. Now we can get into the ministry of Jesus almost right away. And it's, you know what? 9 chapters of Matthew are devoted to the last week of Jesus' life. Over half of the book of John devoted to Jesus' last week of life. Matthew and Luke, it's the same thing. Huge portions devoted to the last week. But we have these little nuggets of the birth. What led up to the birth? And I have to say, thank you, Lord, for your precision, for your relevancy. And it's interesting to me as well. I serve a Savior that didn't just happen on it. One more thought, and then I'll ask you for interaction. Up here in our graveyard, I went up there and read it this morning, one of the new headstones is for James A. Armstrong, Jim Armstrong. Epitaph, written out there, the last words, man of God. There have been a lot of people that have been called a man of God. There are some that I would call a man of God. Some of you right here, I would say man of God. But he's the only one that was God, the man. And that's way different. Man of God, thank you, Lord. But here's God, the man, Emmanuel. Talk to me. What things of interest do you have? Sir?
So you think God created and fertilized the egg and Mary, or you just want to hurt eggs and fertilize them?
So I'm going to quote a good friend of mine that said something like this. That's kind of out of my realm of knowledge. He said that just recently, too. Dave Blalack, I think, was his name. I don't know.
The Holy Spirit.
Because Genesis says that it was Mary.
The seed of the woman?
Yes.
Combined with the overcoming of the Holy Spirit, whatever the Holy Spirit did there, I don't know. Love it. Don't dissect miracles. I like it. Thank you, Kat. Good word. Thanks, Dave. Anybody? Questions or thoughts to interject? Judy.
You're thinking of the word Immaculate Conception.
It's a word that does describe the miraculousness of Jesus' birth. It does not describe the birth of Mary, but Mary's birthing of Jesus. Tradition from another branch of belief has made it so she was the one that was conceived immaculately. There is, according to the genealogy we read, she had a dad and a mom. Okay, I hope that helps you. It means what God did miraculously in her that resulted in Jesus. He was conceived there in the womb. And that maybe that does address, you know, part of the question there too, Dave. Thank you, Judy.
When at the age of 12, and his parents decided for him with the will of him to be in to his father's business, I wonder if at that point Joseph put him to work as a carpenter.
Later on, in Mark chapter 6, I believe, people in Judea were scratching their heads. Who is this guy? Is this not the carpenter? Does not say the son of the carpenter. Though he was, what did he do? He took on the occupation and is called a carpenter. It's he himself that introduced the idea of being the great shepherd. John 10, actually coming from the Old Testament. But he was the carpenter. At what point? I think he was working for his dad before that myself. That's just a thought, though. And by the way, you can read about that part in Luke chapter 2. We went over some of that in youth group last Thursday night. Anybody else? Comments or questions? Yeah, Michael?
Just going back to the they shall call his name Emmanuel part. One of the things... Well, one of the words that's kind of fun is the concept of a name. Back in that culture, your name was synonymous with your authority, right? And so they will see his authority as God with us, I think is kind of the idea there.
I like that.
Just a thought. Mm-hmm.
Names did mean more. Oftentimes it described the whole character of the person. More so than our culture. Yeah, good. Thank you very much. Yeah, Sammy?
Well, since Jesus was about his father's business at 12 years old, and he was talking with the scribes and Pharisees and explaining all these truths to them, and they were in awe of him. Imagine those conversations he may have had with his father, his earthly father, Joseph, as their twin partner, lived together. And so he probably had a lot of answers for Daddy, too, you know? I can play Daddy on earth for him.
Woo! Good thought. I like to bring the fleshness in like that. They did have conversations. They didn't skip 12 years. They lived those 12 years. Thank you. Go ahead, Cliff.
So the gunk in there, in the genealogy. That's like what you pointed out. I think that's fascinating. It's kind of it's a big proof. Because it's included of the validity that the Bible is true, that these words are true. We don't, like you said, we don't include the junk. We don't want to record the junk. We don't want to bring that forward. They brought it forward, bigger purpose. So I think that's a good, it's an encouragement this time of year for people to be able to look at the Bible as true.
Good. Thank you.
Joseph was in the line of kings. Why was he just a carpenter?
There were a lot of people in the line of the kings that were not the king. The oldest was typically the one, but there were other ones born. In some cases, you have a younger one that lines up in this very genealogy. They didn't have kings. King Herod was appointed by the Caesar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So... I don't think that Joseph ever looked at that as a possibility for him. That it kind of died off along the way somewhere. But the line did come through him and could have come to him directly. So thank you. Thank you, Emily. One conclusion here. That gunk, you just called it, in the genealogical line, there could not have been a perfect sinless genealogical line. Why even go there? There couldn't have been. It would have been, we can dissect any other genealogy leading, you know, and there it is. Why? Because of sin that is passed to all mankind. Jesus had to be born of a line like that because there's no other option. He really was human. But at the same time, the sinless Son of God. That's our Savior. I'd like the musicians to come on up, please. Kind of been saving this song, very familiar to us.